Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitya Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitya Gaura Haribo.
The Lord is free, our spiritual master. जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद्स डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अवधेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Text 17, Chapter 19, Canto 6. There is no 19. Text 25. Etacharitva vidivad vratam vibho. अभीप्सितार्थं लभते पुमानिह स्त्रीचैतदास्थाय लभेत सौभगम्। श्रियं प्रजां जीवपतिं यशो गृहम् एतच्चरित्वा विधिवत् व्रतं विभो अभीप्सितार्थं लभते पुमानिह स्त्रीचैतदास्थाय लभेत सौभगम्। श्रियं प्रजां जीवपतिं यशो गृहम्। एतश्चरित्वा विधिवत् व्रतं विभो अभीप्सितार्थं लभते पुमानिह स्त्रीचैतदास्थाय लभेत सौभगम्। श्रियं प्रजां जीवपतिं यशो गृहम्। एतच्चरित्वा विधिवद्व्रतं विभो अभीप्सितार्थं लभते पुमानिह श्रीचैतदास्थाय लभेत सौभगम्। श्रियं प्रजां जीवपतिं यशो गृहम्। एतच्चरित्वा विधिवद्व्रतं विभो अभीप्सितार्थं लभते पुमान्।
Thank you.
एतच्चरित्वा विधिवद्व्रतं विभो अभीप्सितार्थं लभते पुमानिह श्रीचैतस्ताय लभेत सौभगम् श्रियं प्रजां जीवपतिं यशोगृहम् एतद् दिस् चरित्वा परफॉर्मिंग विधिवत अकॉर्डिंग टू द इंजंक्शंस ऑफ शास्त्र व्रत वाव विभो फ्रॉम द लॉर्ड अभीप्सित डिजायरिंग डिजायर्ड डिजायर्ड अर्थम ऑब्जेक्ट लभते गेट्स पुमान इमान इह इन दिस लाइफ स्त्री अ वुमन च एंड एतत् दिस आस्थाय परफॉर्मिंग लभेत कैन गेट सौभगम गुड फॉर्चून श्रियम ऑप्युलेंस प्रजाम प्रोजेनी जीवपतिम ए हस्बैंड विथ अ लॉन्ग ड्यूरेशन ऑफ लाइफ यशः गुड रेपुटेशन गृहम होम सो दिस इज प्रीटी मच द ऑलमोस्ट द लास्ट वर्स ऑफ द चैप्टर ऑफ द कैंटो सो आई एम गोइंग टू रीड फ्रॉम वेयर वी लेफ्ट यस्टरडे Let's see. Okay. We finished at 18. Today is 19 and 20. And then I'll read the translation and purport. Texts 19 and 20 onwards. One should accept this Vishnu Vrata, which is a vow in devotional service, and should not deviate from its execution to engage in anything else. By offering the remnants of prasad, flower garlands, sandalwood pulp and ornaments, one should daily worship the brahmanas and worship women who peacefully live with their husbands and children. Every day, the wife must continue following the regulative principles to worship Lord Vishnu with great devotion. Thereafter, Lord Vishnu should be laid in his bed and then one should take prasad. In this way, husband and wife will be purified and will have all their desires fulfilled. The chaste wife must perform such devotional service continuously for 1 year. After 1 year passes, she should fast on the full moon day in the month of Kartika, October, November. On the morning of the next day, one should wash oneself, and after worshipping Lord Krishna as before, one should cook as one cooks for festivals, as stated in the Grihya Sutras. Sweet rice should be cooked with ghee. And with this preparation, the husband should offer oblations to the fire 12 times. Thereafter, he should satisfy the brahmanas. When the satisfied brahmanas bestow their blessings, he should devotedly offer them respectful obeisances with his head, and with their permission, he should take prasad. Before taking his meal, the husband must first seat the acharya comfortably, and along with his relatives and friends, should control his speech and offer prasad to the guru. Then the wife should eat the remnants of the oblation of sweet rice cooked with ghee. Eating the remnants ensures a learned, devoted son and all good fortune. If this vow or ritualistic ceremony is observed according to the description of Shastra, even in this life a man will be able to achieve all the benedictions he desires from the Lord. A wife who performs this ritualistic ceremony will surely receive good fortune, opulence, sons, a long-living husband, a good reputation, and a good home. Purport. In Bengal, even today, if a woman lives for a long time with her husband, she is considered very fortunate. A woman generally desires a good husband, good children, good home, prosperity, opulence, and so on. As recommended in this verse, a woman will receive all these desirable benedictions, and a man will also be able to receive all benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, by performing this particular type of vrata, a man and a woman in Krishna consciousness will be happy in this material world, and because of being Krishna conscious, they will be promoted to the spiritual world. If an unmarried girl observes this vrata, she will be able to get a very good husband. If a woman is avira, who has no husband or son, executes this ritualistic ceremony, she can be promoted to the spiritual world. A woman whose children have died after birth can get a child with a long duration of life and also become very fortunate in possessing wealth. If a woman is unfortunate, she will become fortunate. If ugly, she will become beautiful. By observing this vrata, a deceased man can get relief from his disease and have an able body with which to work. If one recites this narration while offering oblations to the pitas and demigods, especially during the Shraddha ceremony, the demigods and inhabitants of Pitraloka will be extremely pleased with him and bestow upon him the fulfillment of all desires. After one performs this ritualistic ceremony, Lord Vishnu and his wife, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, are very pleased with him. O King Parikshit, now I have completely described how Diti performed this ceremony and had good children, the Maruts, and a happy life. I have tried to explain this to you as elaborately as possible. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports, the 6th canto, 19th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Performing the Pumsavana Ritualistic Ceremony. End of the 6th canto. Ki cha. Okay, few things that touch me are important for me, and I believe are important for all of us as well. So first of all, is this concept of vrata. Vrata means a vow, a determination to do something, or a determination to not do something. So we have many regulative principles that we abide by. And we prepare for the time of initiation when those vows become formalized. And we speak them in the presence of the spiritual master and the acharyas of the parampara, and of course Radha and Krishna. And before we take such a vow, we are given time to practice them, to see how it feels, to see and experience that these are called regulative principles of freedom, that actually by following them, our life is becoming more meaningful, free, lively. So the regulative principles are no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. But actually, even before these four, there is something else. Before these four, chanting 16. That's more important. Chanting 16 rounds. And we say, the spiritual masters ask, will you dedicate your life to the service of Srila Prabhupada's mission or by following his teachings? So chanting 16 rounds, committing ourselves to a life of service, and for these two to happen, the other four need to be in place. Otherwise, it's like throwing water into a fire that we are about to light, or we just lit. Very important. Because these four, very often, we don't talk so much about the regulative principles, and we somehow live by abstaining at the very superficial level. For example, when we say no meat eating, what is the actual principle that we are living by our life, in our life? Not no violence, but something positive actually. Mercy. That we want to live our life in a way that we can express mercy upon others and other living entities. It's very important. It's not just, oh, I don't need meat anymore. It's, I want to express mercy. Just as mercy has been expressed to me, I want to express that mercy to other fellow human beings and living entities. When we say no intoxication, what's the principle we are living by? Austerity, thank you. That we knowingly and willingly say no to certain things and certain substances. Because it gives us the power to transcend those things, which otherwise we may be addicted to or so dependent on. So it allows us to exert that free will to say no and make the right choices. Because Krishna consciousness is all about making the right choices. When I say right, I mean in favorable disposition to Krishna. That's right. When we say no gambling, the principle that we're living by is truthfulness. That we commit to living or abiding by a life of truthfulness. And truthfulness includes honesty. It includes living a life of service to Krishna, because Krishna is the truth. It includes freedom from hypocrisy. Say one thing, do one thing else. Or one rule applies to me and other rules, everything else applies to someone else. Hypocrisy. It also means that we conduct our occupational work with the proper honesty in it. Whatever work we do, it's that the fruit of it is from honest labor. That if I have to receive some money from it, then I should put effort that's worth that money, not look for shortcuts or you know, escaping from it. So these are, for example, I mean, I'm cutting down the seminar, but you get the idea. So it's a principle of truthfulness. And when we say no illicit sex, the principle that we want to live by is cleanliness. Cleanliness is both the external cleanliness, of course, to take a bath, to keep our hair short or shave every day regularly, keep our body clean, and more importantly, learn to clean our mind. One of the ways that we cultivate internal cleanliness is by consciously giving up fruit of mentality. Because in Rishabhdev's teachings, he says, karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. Karmatmaka means the mind colored with, the mind contaminated with, the mind messed up with fruit of desires. And even in devotional service, we are somehow impelled by fruit of mentality. I offered all these prayers to Krishna, I offered this service to Krishna. Why is he so late? Why is he not reciprocating quickly enough? Or fruit of mentality means I already have predisposed what that reciprocation should look like. I do this for Krishna and he should smile back at me, whatever. He should do this for me. Krishna is not bound by that. He knows exactly what he needs to do. And learning that my department, you know, the line where's the boundary for me is service. And fruit is in his camp. He has to give it. I cannot force it. Fruitive mentality means I will act and say and do things in a way that gets me my result. That's called manipulation. I want something, so I make a show of it. Or I even if I don't make a show of it, I will still do something because my intention is that fruit. Okay, so that's better than nothing at all. That's cool. But that's not the purest thing. It's like eating sweet rice with grains of sand in it. We try. I mean, it's not like we are expected to be there, but we try. But at least we have our eyes set on the ultimate goal. Right? When a boat is lost, a ship is lost at sea, the only way for it to come back home is they have to see the lighthouse. Now, although they're very far from the lighthouse, they don't say, oh, we're very far from the lighthouse. What's the point at looking at the White House? Anyway, not White House, lighthouse. What's the point? No, the point is, as we keep our eyes, our vision set on the lighthouse, it tells us what we need to do now, here, and in what direction. If we lose sight of the lighthouse, even if we put the most effort, we'll reach somewhere else or not reach anywhere at all. So the point is, we often, because we've been in this material world infinitely, we often solve our problems very quickly with a surge of our effort and don't consider that our effort has to be in line with receiving mercy. Otherwise, I'll keep putting a lot of effort and not get a drop of mercy just because very sincerely making effort without aligning ourselves to that mercy. And so this life of vratas, they help align us into a life of mercy, to receive what we call descending mercy. Ever imagine how an aeroplane cockpit looks like? You know, we have a simpler version in the car called the dashboard, right? There you can see how fast your engine is moving, how fast the vehicle is moving, or how many revolutions per second, how fast the car is moving, how much the gas is in the tank, how much the temperature of the engine is, or, you know, all that. And if something goes wrong, ping, something comes up on the dashboard, need maintenance, low air pressure in the tire, something, right? There's a dashboard. And a driver knows how to control all these things. And while he controls this, or he or she, what's the purpose? Is it the joy of controlling dials and instruments? Is that the joy? No, there's a purpose. The purpose is to get to the destination. As simple as that, right? And these things help a person get there safely. So vratas, or such vows, help us get to our destination safely. In fact, they help to get to the destination, period. So they're very critical. A life of a devotee is all about such vratas. Some determination. I determined to do this for Krishna. The first determination is, I determine to make my life successful in this very life. That in this very life, I would like, by Krishna's grace, to go back to Godhead. In this very life, I want to be able to commit to a life of service to Krishna. I commit that I've ran here and there, tried so many things, and they have not worked out for me. There's a beautiful verse that I've been meditating on every day, and I'll share with you. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 20, verse 16. Kamadina katitha katitha palita durnideshas tesham mayi na jata na tripa na kripa no pashantihi utsrijaitan. Utsrijaitan means I give up. He prays, oh my Lord, life after life, I have nurtured all sorts of desires and I have pursued them. And these desires are such that I have been shameless in pursuing them. I've been shameless. I've been embarrassed so many times, yet I am shameless. And these desires, they're completely merciless. How many lifetimes I had to take, birth and death, just to fulfill those desires. And even after I fulfilled those desires, my mind has not been restful. Na upashanti. It is always agitated. Even when I fulfill that desire, it's like, it's like so agitated. So finally, Yadupate, oh the Lord of the Yadus, Usri Jaitan, I give up all this nonsense. And I commit myself to your lotus feet. Please accept me and engage me as Atmadasya, as your own servant. Please do this for me. So the vratas help us move, impel us. They're the propelling forces to make us move. Because the normal condition of life, the default condition of life, especially in Kali Yuga, is manda. A person is not motivated about spiritual life at all. Manda, just too lazy. So these vratas are like the propelling force, you know, like in a motor boat, as soon as you put the little propeller into the water, it moves the boat. It may be a big boat, but its propeller is not very big. Just because it moves at high speed, it has a strong propelling force. It's like that. So these vratas, they propel our life in the right direction. And that's why they're there in the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, who cares for, you know, all these for a year and getting a nice house and a husband who lives long. I'm not sure a very long living husband is necessarily a benediction for many women, but that's not the point here. And some people are like, oh, this guy is still here so long, you know, whatever. But that's not what one is looking for. All these, like a nice house, a long living husband, the wealth and opulence, these are for facilitating life of devotional service. That's the critical piece here. That's why Parikshit Maharaj is interested. Otherwise, he's about to die in 7 days. He's asking, can you tell me about Pumsavana ritual a little bit more? Like, why are you interested in Pumsavana ritual? Because the center of that ritual is Lakshmi and Narayana and devotional service to them, and so it's very interesting. He's not interested in the house and the family and the goods and the, you know, nice drapes and sofas and all. It's irrelevant to him. He's about to die very soon. You know, it's like 7 days worth of Bhagavatam recitation, and assuming, although mathematically it's not correct, but assuming each canto is about the same pace, this is like 3.5 days done. Because end of 6th canto means right at the half of the Bhagavatam. Of course, 10th canto is a lot longer. So I haven't weighted each canto according to the number of shlokas, but you get the idea, somewhere in the half, you know, 3.5 days. And he's thinking, can you tell me about Pumsavana ritual? There's a meaning, there's a reason for it. He wants his heart to be, the strings of his heart to be tugged by the meditation on Lakshmi and Narayana, Radha and Krishna. So that's about vratas. So it says one should accept, says this Vishnu Vrata, a vow in devotional service, and should not deviate from it or deviate from its execution to engage in anything else. So Dhrida Vrata, we hear the word Dhrida Vrata in Bhagavad Gita many times. Dhrida Vrata means fixed in his vow. And Krishna says that a person who's like that attains the spiritual world. He's able to overcome all his sinful tendencies. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridhavrata. It is that determination that helps a person overcome sinful tendencies, overcome duality and engage in pure activities. Without determination, it's very difficult. And determination is developed by austerity or vow. The more one is austere, the more one becomes determined. And that determination fuels or propels the vow, or being fixed in the vow. And then it's about the chaste wife who should fast at the end of the vrata, etc., etc. Then he describes, these are some cultural points but important. The wife and husband, they should cook in ghee, sweet rice cooked in ghee. So very important. Vedic life without dairy products, not possible. And he should offer oblations, and then he should satisfy the Brahmins, the first order of business. So then it's described how he should do it. Before taking his meal, now it says the husband, and we might think, I'm not a husband. But that's not the point. The point is how to honor others. He says the husband must first seat the acharya comfortably and along with his relatives and friends. So, in the taking of prasad, the first honor is given to the senior-most person, the acharya, the spiritual master. I've seen many programs where the spiritual master or someone is there, like a very senior Vaishnava, spiritual master is there. The program ends and they say prasad, and before the spiritual master is offered prasad, everyone just dukes it out. Yeah, prasad. This is not proper. First senior devotee. I mean, here it says spiritual master. Even in a normal course of life, it's that the father or the head of the household is given, you first eat. And when they sit down, everyone else sits. When they get up, everyone else gets up. Unlike the modern convention, there's no such order. Whoever is in the line first gets the first order. They eat, sitting right next to someone, they're done, they get up and leave. We were never allowed like that. I'm sure in most households also it's like that. That if the child or someone finishes their meal, they don't just get up and leave, because others are still sitting. I remember growing up as a young child, like our whole family would sit and eat, and they would had a particular order in which they would serve, and we'd all be like, ah. And then we would eat quickly. As soon as we're done, get up and leave. And we'd be chastised. Well, how are you leaving? The grandfather is still sitting. You can't just leave like that. Oh, I don't want to serve. Can I go? Can I play? No, you have to wait. And we're like, grandfather, eat quickly. Come on, man. But it was a cultural point. That's disrespect. You have to wait till he's done. When Srila Prabhupada came to America, in the beginning, 1966, 67, few disciples were there. They were living in 26 Second Avenue. And in the morning, Prabhupada came up with his toothbrush, and there was a line outside the bathroom. And Prabhupada stood in line. Just waited. And they all said, oh, Swamiji's come. He's waiting in line. No one said, Swamiji, please go first. Because he's waiting in line. And there were times when one or somebody would wake up late and say, Swamiji, if you don't mind, can I just quickly go in and break the line and go right in? And Prabhupada was just tolerant of it. Then he would have a Sunday feast or something for the devotees. They would all come. He would cook, 70-year-old spiritual master, of course. He would cook for them. Wow, nice prasadam, Swamiji. They were done eating and they would leave. He would take all their plates, clean the table, wash all the dishes. Somewhere later, somehow, Krishna inspired them, I believe. It occurred to them, hold on a second. Why is Swamiji standing in line? Why is he cleaning out? What are we doing here? So such culture develops that becomes more, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you first. First, or acharya or spiritual master. Then he says, along with his relatives and friends, should control his speech and offer prasad to the guru. Many times the spiritual master comes, the devotees gather around him and they offer him prasad and they don't let him eat peacefully. They all are staring into his plate. First of all, they give a sannyasi such a big plate with like 20 varieties in it. And they're all staring at him. Or they'll be thinking in their mind, oh, he's taken the pizza. I wish I can get a small piece of that Mahaprasad because that pizza looks good. Or something. And it's just, and constantly talking. Maharaj, what do you think? Maharaj, I have a question. Maharaj, please let Maharaj eat peacefully. No, Maharaj, a whole gathering around him. If you notice pictures of Prabhupada, he used to sit away without talking to anyone, just honoring prasadam. Of course, these are very compassionate souls, so they don't mind it, but it's just like hovering around them. It's described, control his speech. That means, in general, when we are in doubt as to what does control speech mean, what we should do, what should we do? Suppose you are in doubt, what does control in speech control really mean? If you have such a doubt, what should we do? Just shut up, yeah. Be quiet. No need to say anything. Just be. It's a joke. Point is, when in doubt, just shut up. It's safer to just... No, we need the lights on, please. It's safer to control speech, silence. There's no burning question. Unless he invites, you have any question? Then let it all out. But, you know, get the idea. Okay, then... every vrata, well, the Vedic knowledge or Vedic body of knowledge is, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, categorized into three groups, the three buckets of knowledge: sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. Prayojana means the fruit of that activity. The prayojana of devotional service is love for Krishna. So every vrata has a prayojana, has a fruit. And here is saying, you know, one who observes this will have a life full of benedictions. Are blessings necessary in our lives?
Are blessings necessary?
Of course. Of course. Because what do blessings represent?
Mercy.
Mercy of the devotees, mercy of Krishna. And those blessings... if one doesn't have blessings from others, one's devotional service, although executed nicely, doesn't have traction. You understand what traction mean? You have a big SUV. What's that? The GMC Yukon. It's like an elephant. Dinosaur. Oh, big. And it's usually small women who drive the big cars. But anyway. You have a GMC Yukon and there's dirt. Even the GMC Yukon will not move in the dirt. It will just be spinning your wheels. All that you get from it is a lot of dirt gets thrown. So you need traction, something that the tires can grip so it moves, the vehicle moves. So blessings are those tractions without which the vehicle can't move. You need that. The blessings we receive are Krishna's way of pulling us towards Him. Srila Prabhupada said, actually I am holding your hair and dragging you back to Godhead. Or he said that this whole movement is going on by the mercy of Krishna. He had once said like that. This was during a Bhagavatam class. And when he said like that, he looked around and everyone was dozing off, you know. So the head bobbed. And Prabhupada said, definitely, it's going on by the mercy of Krishna. The mercy, the blessings are very important. Very, very. That's why you find devotees. Please give me your blessings. Because somehow by the words of a Vaishnav, even the things that we would not otherwise get manifest in our life. So it's very important to have this overall mood of seeking the blessings of Gaur Nithai and the disciplic succession like that to help move our help our devotional kripa grow. Very essential. Without blessings, we tend to fall into a trap thinking my effort. Sometimes, you know, like a practical thing, many of us have difficulty waking up in the morning. It's a fact, right? Because whatever, either it was too cold that night, it was too hot that night, it was late night or something. Waking up in the morning gets difficult. And we make so many plans. I'll sleep early. I'll set my alarm far away. I will set 3 alarms. I will do this. I will do that. I will not eat at night anymore. I will have a hot a cup of hot milk at night. Somehow, you know, right? We make all these determinations. And what happens when it's time for Mangal Arati? It's always the case. It's the case for all. What is missed out is the mercy factor. That if I eagerly pray for Krishna's mercy, oh my dear Krishna, I really want to wake up, please help me. It works very differently. Of course, he may wake us up and then we may decide, too early right now. I have 5 more minutes. But the mercy factor works very differently. Or we don't find strength in our body. Oh, Baladev, please, you're Balaram, give me that spiritual strength by which I can carry out my services. And suddenly doses of strength come. It's not like suddenly, you know, our muscles go. It's just that we'll be surprised how we were able to carry out our services beyond our capacity. Or at least what we thought we had. So blessings are very necessary and the benedictions bring us to taste the fruit of what we are doing. So here is all this ritualistic ceremony, has all these, you know, benedictions associated with it. And the reason Krishna gives all these is he wants to see us succeed. He's not waiting there to see us fail. He wants us to succeed. As simple as that. So that ends the 6th canto. I thought I'll take a few minutes to review what the 6th canto is all about. Let's see if you remember anything from 6th canto. I know. Kali Yuga. So the chapter 1 was a description of the life of Ajamila. And in that, there's the story of how Ajamila got swayed away from his vows is described. Then in the chapter 2 was the appearance of the Vishnu Dutas to help deliver Ajamila. Because Ajamila did one thing. He called out Lord Narayana's name unknowingly. He called out his son's name, but it happened to be Lord Narayana's name. So the Vishnu Dutas came. So then the Yama Dutas, they're a little bewildered. Hey, what's going on? So they go to Yamaraj, and there's a dialogue between Yamaraj and the Yama Dutas. And that's where the theology of the holy name is discussed. How potent the holy name of the Lord is. Then chapter 4 was the Hamsa Guhya prayers offered by who? Who offered Hamsa Guhya prayers? Daksha. Then Daksha offered all these wonderful prayers, and then he had all these sons. the Haryashvas, 10,000 of them, and the Shavalashvas, 1,000 of them. And Narada Muni very quickly recruited them into his ashram. So Daksha became very upset. What is this? What have you done? My sons, they are supposed to populate the universe. You've taken them away and made them brahmacharis. How dare you? And he curses Narada. I curse you that you're not an honest man. I curse you that you will not be able to stay in any place more than 3 days. Narada said, thank you very much. Nice traveling blessing. He took it as a blessing. And Prabhupada says, Narada Muni has passed on the curse to all of us. So I pass it on to all my disciples, sannyas disciples, so they cannot stay in any place for more than 3 days. So Narada Muni was cursed, one after the other. Then Narada Muni, of course, he talks to the Prachetas and gives them a whole allegory and converts them into his ashram. Then Daksha has daughters, 60 daughters. Because he said, Narada Muni won't preach to my daughters, safer this way. They will populate the universe. So then all these different daughters got married to different Prajapatis and the universe was populated. In chapter 7, Indra, he offends his spiritual master, Brihaspati. What was his offense? He neglected his spiritual master. So then he gets a curse. So he wants the Narayana Kavacha, shield, by which he can protect himself against the demons. Because once he has offended the spiritual master, all his potency has vanished. And so the demon said, Indra is weak right now, let's attack. I said, whoa, hold on a second. So he wanted the Narayana Kavacha, the mantra that will protect him. So they went to Vishwarupa, who was the son of Tvashta. But Tvashta was offering oblations for the demons as well as the demigods. Indra came to know, so he took out the sword and chopped off the heads of his own guru that he had invited to do the fire yajna. So Tvashta became very angry and created a demon from the fire called Vritrasura. And Indra and Vritrasura fight, and then Vritrasura, although he is a pure devotee in a demon's body, and gives all these wonderful Bhagavatam classes to Indra, and Indra's like, what's going on? Who is this person? And finally, although he's empowered to kill Vritrasura, he feels very sad that he has committed a very grave act against a pure Vaishnava. So Parikshit Maharaj asks, who is this Vritrasura? So to narrate who Vritrasura is, Shukadev Goswami starts the story of King Chitraketu. So then he says how King Chitraketu was such a king, but he didn't have a son, so he was lamenting. Then Angira Muni and Narada Muni, they devise a wonderful plan to help Chitraketu become freed of his attachment. So they bless him with a son. Angira Muni blesses him with a son called Harshashoka, which means who's the source of pleasure and distress. Chitraketu only hears the word Harsha, doesn't hear the word Shoka. He says, it's not much. Shoka means what? At the most, he'll be a little indisciplined. It's all right. Come on. Which child is not indisciplined? But he didn't realize that the child's going to die. And then this child comes, Narada Muni brings him back to life, and he tells him, I'm not your son. I don't know who my parents are. You're my parents in this life, but in my previous life, I had different parents. In the previous life, I had different parents. In the next life, different parents. I mean, try telling this to your parents and see what reaction you get. They will say, there's no Harsha in you, you're only Shoka. So then he overcomes that by the prayers and meditation given by Narada Muni. And he becomes the king of the Vidyadharas and becomes a pure devotee. One day he's traveling in an airplane. he sees a very amusing scene. Lord Shiva giving Bhagavatam class to Narada and all the other Brahmachari sages while having Parvati sitting on his lap. So, just like you chuckled, Chitraketu chuckled. He said, "Hey, Lord Shiva, it's very interesting." Parvati said, "How dare you speak like that to my husband? Shh, may you become a demon." He said, "Mother, although I have not said anything in offense, but let your curse remain. I will accept the body of a demon." And then Lord Shiva speaks to Mother Parvati, "Although you cursed him, look at how the wonderful devotees of the Lord are, that they don't take anything as a curse, everything as a benediction. And they're not afraid of anything." Then gear shift, and the chapter about Diti taking a vow to kill Indra comes up. Because Indra, he had done something. Because of Indra, Vishnu had killed Hiranyaksha. So Diti became very upset. "I killed my son. I need to take revenge. I should also have a son who will kill Indra." And Kashyapa Muni said, "Oh, okay, whatever you want, I will fulfill your desire," without knowing what the desire was. And then he lamented, "Oh no, look at what kind of desire she was asked. How can I say yes? How can I say no? Okay, let me do something. Let me give her a devotional process by which she'll become purified. And she will overcome that vengeance." And she was given a very strict vow, this Pumsavana vow, to perform. And Indra came to assist her because he wanted to see her. Is there any discrepancy? And he saw one discrepancy in the entire year, that once she had not washed her mouth, hands and feet after eating. And so he entered the womb and chopped off the embryo into 49 pieces. First 7 and then each 7 into 7 became 49, and they were not dead. He's like, "Wow, how are you guys alive?" He said, "Oh no, we're protected." Then he realized, "Oh, these are great personalities." And he promised them, "I will take you as demigods." And Diti and Indra both overcome their venom in the heart. And these 49 Maruts ascend to heaven, although they're born from Diti. So Parikshit Maharaj asks, "Can you please tell me more about this very powerful ritual by which one was supposedly to become a demon but turns out to be a demigod?" "Oh, it's the power of devotional service." And so that's the Pumsavana ritualistic ceremony in the 19th chapter, which ended now. Congratulations to all of us for having survived the 6th canto. Tomorrow we will begin with the 7th canto, which will have the beautiful pastime of Lord Narsingadev. So, any questions or comments? Krishnanam, Jordan, and
Hare Krishna. Can I say a few words about the cultural?
Yeah, please. Yeah. Can I say a few things about the cultural point?
Yeah, I was thinking that I was about you were speaking about the taking of prasadam and these things.
Yeah, speak into the mic because
Sorry. And because one of the brahmacharis who were training me in Bulgaria, he's a teacher in the Gurukul in Mayapur.
Uh-huh.
So I was thought that before getting up from the table or from eating prasadam, I should first ask for permission from the seniors, which is not, we don't follow this.
We should ask, is it all right if I do get up?
can I get up?
And not also, only that, even if you go to someone's house as a guest, we should seek their permission. "Would you please permit me to leave now?" If they say no, we have to sit. Because the guest is about satisfying the host, and the host is all about satisfying the guest.
Yeah. Another point I was taught is that wherever I see my senior, I should offer obeisances to him. For example, if you come in the temple and I see you, I have to offer obeisances to you as my senior. And I was thinking that this is directly connected with the blessing point you made. Because in that way you are satisfying your seniors and they are more inclined to give you a blessing. It's not only a ritual, but you are bowing down to show as a show, you know. Yeah, I was thinking about this. And another point though, they taught me they're very strict brahmacharis is about the association with women. As I see that now in the devote the brahmacharis are not very strict about it. You know.
He says the brahmacharis in the ashram are not strict about associating with women. Okay.
That's
well, let me just say something. The principle is true that when we see our seniors, we should offer obeisances. But with me, you don't need to do that. It makes me uncomfortable. Would rather that I'd see that let the heart have the feeling, and that's good enough for me. In the morning when we say vancha kalpaturubhyasya, we offer respect to each other. Please don't, like if I walk in, drop on the floor. It makes me uncomfortable. But that's the principle is right. Yes.
It makes you uncomfortable. It makes me offensive.
Okay. We'll talk about it. Okay. Jordan.
I will. I have a question about the principles, the vows.
Yeah.
So, like, with specifically intoxications.
Intoxication.
You know, as a kid, or like when you first start eating sugar, you say like you get a sugar high.
Right.
Like you get a good feeling from mm-hmm. eating sugar. So I was wondering if you could explain like is that a minor intoxicant or is it not an intoxicant or why is it allowed to be taken if it's like gives you a high feeling?
Well, the conditioned soul is such that he gets high from pretty much anything and everything. So among that, the Shastra says try to avoid, you know, minimally these things. Because every substance has that. Even one can get high from something, you know, whatever. Each person has their own thing. Now, certain substances have very strong addictive nature. Yeah, sugar is also like that. One of the brahmacharis in our ashram, he couldn't maintain himself because I stopped him from eating a big bowl of rabri every day. Rabri. You don't know what it is, you're safe. Don't worry. Don't go out finding out what it is. It's the condensed milk, sweetened condensed milk that's prepared for the dairies. It's hidden. But his whole meal of the day was a big bowl of that thing. And he felt that sugar helped him. And it was becoming addictive for him. So I asked him to stop. And his mind went on a spin like anything. So it was artificial, but yeah. So sugar, all the Vedic scriptures, there is sugar used in cooking. But our whole diet is not sugar. Because if you have a balanced diet with the bitter substances, like Karela and other salt and things, then the high from the sugar doesn't come as much. But if you look at the Western nations, starting from breakfast to dinner, everything is sweet. Pancake, syrup, desserts, chocolate or candy, this bar, that is all sweet. It's unbelievable. The colas, sweet, everything is either naturally sweet or artificially sweetened. And that's the addiction. It's a very high sugar culture. So generally, one tries to minimize. And if it is a problem, then one should avoid it before one learns to minimize it. Jai Baldev. Actually, it's a whole seminar I'd given once. It took 4 days to talk about each. Because there's so many nuances, what mercy means, what this means, what that means. I did it in like a minute.
Thank you for a wonderful class. This is a joke. Well, before I get to my real answer. In regards
you
to
only get a chance either for a joke or for a realization. What would you like?
In regards to Christian Allen's point, I have a disclaimer. In case anyone sees me talking to women, I'm not a brahmachari. I'm a mamachari. I live at the ashram of my mother. But in regards to your brother point, that's a very nice
mama
point.
Mamachari means one who's dedicated his life to serving mama. Yeah, brahmachari means one who's dedicated life to serving Brahman.
Mamachari, brahmachari. So in regards to the Bratta point, actually me and one devotee, Omar, actually probably was talking about this point in the kitchen. We was kind of thinking about the pastime Haridas Thakur, of course, who had more determination, you know, as far as Bratta is concerned. So one point that, you know, we brought up that was maybe not mentioned, but, you know, we could see it in the lives of all the saints throughout history, is that when Haridas Thakur, when he saw the prostitute, he wasn't thinking, "You're a prostitute? That's disgusting. Don't touch me. You're going to hell." So we could see that how was he able to maintain his bratta? Was it, you know, he was fault-finding or judging or criticizing her? No, by the Shravanam Kirtanam program, Srimvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana, he was able to purify her not by fault-finding, but by purifying with the Shravanam Kirtanam program. So you made the very nice point of a lot of times we think we're in devotional service based on our, you could say, I'll speak for myself, it's based on my so-called devotional service or my austerities, but you make the essential point that it's actually mercy. We make all offenses all the times at every moment, unknowing and sometimes knowing, all the time. So that's the essential point. And so I really appreciated that point, because I'll give one example. Like when I first came here, I was like, Jitendra, they let him stay here? Oh my God.
He was thinking the same about you.
That's what I'm saying. Look who's talking. And then we actually have a Loyola program. There was this one girl, there was all girls.
He's waiting to say something. So.
Okay. Anyway, there was all girls in the beginning because they named the club Bhakti Yoga. Every time they name it something yoga, it's always girls with yoga mats who show up. And so it wound up winding down the club because they were looking for some exercise. But there was this one girl, you know, I was thinking, oh, she's not going to last long because, you know, she was dressed like the most sensual, I would say. And I'm like, she's definitely, you know, going to be the lead. She's actually the main one, the spiritual one. She's, every time she asks questions in class, they're very enlightening. She already studied this. She believes in reincarnation. And, you know, we judge people all the time. So to think that we're maintaining our Christian consciousness because of our so-called devotion, I'll speak for myself, or our bratas, you know, is completely ridiculous. So this, I'll just say one last point that I appreciated that Buddha said. He said, not the faults of others, not their sins of commission or omission, but his own misdeeds and negligences should a sage take notice of. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Jitendra Prabhu. No.
I say if Krishna Nam was here when Krishna Smarnam was here, you'd have a different, as far as, remember when Krishna Smarnam was here?
Uh-huh.
It was a different
you know the
protocol.
Anyway, I'll reserve my comment.
So I was just, well, he's not here now, so anyway.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I know, but you're here for 6 more weeks and I'm not here. My service to the devotees.
I'm pretty attached.
Okay, so all the more reason.
Yeah, I'm pretty attached.
If you're attached, it's not healthy.
It's not necessarily that attached. I'm glad at the present moment, I don't have any attachments. Other stuff, at the moment, that can happen. He said his mom
Who said that, Mike?
No, one devotee you'll know from a lot of Spanish devotees.
Oh, okay.
Shravanadi.